Our entire culture, and again, this traverses both of my businesses, but the entire culture is that we want to show that appreciation. So I'll give you, for instance, in hospitals, we have to do a lot of training of nurses. We have to do a lot of training of techs. So as we go out, we do it a lot of times as a team approach so that we can learn from each other and learn best practices that way. And the same goes for the store. When I'm in the store interacting with customers, I can then see our team interact the exact same way as I do with the customers. And it's not to say that the way I'm doing it is the only way or the right way to do it, but that proven track record of success is what we're focusing on.
The Gasparilla overload continues, and this day we are stopping on Kennedy Boulevard to see Stephen Sherman. He is over at Heads and Tails. Stephen, thank you for stopping by That Entrepreneur Show.
Thanks, Vincent. I appreciate it.
If you haven't been to his store, be sure to check it out. It's all the game day stuff you need for all the Tampa sports teams. Stephen and I met a little unorthodox for me. I had a little taste of the modeling world wearing some of his clothes on here in St. Pete, Channel 10 News. Had a great time. Big shout out to Mary Lou as well over there. They do a lot of great stuff. But Stephen, you can say it better than me. Talk about Heads and Tails.
Yeah, so Heads and Tails was actually founded in 1992, and we purchased it in 2020 during the pandemic, basically because if the store didn't sell, it would have gone out of business, and it really is the last bastion of brick-and-mortar sports apparel businesses left in the area, so we didn't want to see it go away.
And you've turned it into something quite large. I know now we were just talking behind the scenes when we're recording this, the Bucks have a home playoff game. It's become the destination stop for game day apparel. How'd you get to that level?
Yeah, it has become that. And I think it became that way organically based on the culture that we really built in the store. The previous two families that owned the store did a wonderful job with the store. But it needed a website, it needed a brand refresh, and really the inside of the store needed to be refreshed as well. So once we did all of that, the culture really created the fan base, if you will, that we have that comes into the store every day.
Yeah, and a lot of great stuff in that store. Giving him some shout outs. I like the creamsicle stuff. I got a cool creamsicle hat from over there. I know you have your hands in other things. You're this entrepreneur involved in more than one company. Excuse me. What else do you have going on?
Yeah, so I have a medical sales and distribution business called Beverage Medical Associates, and I've been involved with that organization since 1998 as a sophomore in high school. It was the first kind of real job I had, and now I'm the managing partner of that business as well.
Okay, two bit different worlds. What are
extremely
the what are the overlaps though as an entrepreneur that dip into both worlds?
So both businesses are essentially sales organizations, right? So one is B2B, one is B2C. And I think that there's a lot of overlap there, but the biggest underlying piece of sales that as an entrepreneur I can say is the fact that sales is still a people business. And it's still a person to person, one person is going to buy from another person. And it's not just the brands, it's not just the products. It really is the interaction that you have with the consumer, whether it's another business or an actual consumer themselves.
Yeah, you said that perfectly. And I got it right there in the notes from when we go live. Sales is a people business. Someone could be having, and I think I'll shout out Carlos, it was someone at the ECC in Ybor. Someone could have the best product, the best service, but if they're not the best person, you're most likely not going to do business with them. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that more than 100% if that was possible. And I say that because often we joke about sales in hospitals. You know, hospitals are very serious places. In the last few years with the pandemic, it became even more serious. And we had to become more creative in our sales process at that point as well, because we weren't able to go and talk to people live. But my agreement to that is this: you have to make your customer feel appreciated. And you have to make your customer feel like they're valuable. And whether that's a hospital, a patient in the hospital, or an actual consumer coming in to buy merchandise from you, everyone wants to feel that way when they leave.
Is there a training method you have for your employees to allow them to properly make customers feel this way? Or how do you get everybody on board?
I think that part of what we do in both of the businesses is it really is on the job type training. Our entire culture, and again, this traverses both of my businesses, but the entire culture is that we want to show that appreciation. So I'll give you a for instance. In hospitals, we have to do a lot of training of nurses. We have to do a lot of training of techs. So as we go out, we do it a lot of times as a team approach, so that we can learn from each other and learn best practices that way. And the same goes for the store. When I'm in the store interacting with customers, I can then see our team interact the exact same way as I do with the customers. And it's not to say that the way I'm doing it is the only way or the right way to do it, but that proven track record of success is what we're focusing on. So whether it's, again, selling a product into the hospital or selling a hat or a creamsicle shirt to a customer for the bucks, it really is about making that customer feel special.
Thank you for sharing that. And everyone, there's been tons of takeaways already here. I'm going to shift it to the Heads and Tails location here on Kennedy. What is your favorite part about running that store? I know you get to interact with all these customers. You do cool news segments. What do you like best about being so centered in the community?
I would say that my favorite part of the actual brick and mortar store is the interaction with the community, to your point. Heads and Tails, there's nothing fancy about it when you walk into the store. It's not like walking into a big box store. It's the OG of South Tampa. And I think having that presence and having a little bit of grit is what makes it special. I think the interaction that not just we have with the customers, but the customers have with each other.
Right.
And again, going back to the pandemic and the time that we purchased it, sports was one of the only things that brought people together.
Absolutely.
So when you think of events in our lives that bring people together, someone, if they follow a sports team, they can tell you who they were with and where they were when that sports team succeeded. If they're involved in other activities, those types of memories aren't always seminal memories that are in our minds.
And
so that aspect of it is probably my favorite.
I love it. And we had the Bucks win the Super Bowl during the pandemic. I mean, it was probably a weaker turnout for the parade, but the involvement there, do you have any takeaways from having the store at that time?
Yeah. So we were learning and drinking from a fire hose at that point. The supply chain was completely awry and a mess. And what we had to learn how to do was sell what we have, right? And I use that term in our medical business all the time. You can only sell what you have in your bag. And if you don't have it in your bag, you can't sell it. So you have to figure out a creative way to sell the product. So when we were dealing with all of the supply chain backlogs during that time, we got creative and worked with local vendors. We got creative and bought whatever we could buy. And people at that point were so excited to have something in their lives that was exciting.
Yeah.
That they were coming in, and literally we closed Super Bowl Sunday 2 hours early because we had not a single item left in the store.
Good problem to have.
It was. But the biggest takeaway for me was, if we were able to deliver under those conditions, there's no way that we can't deliver under quote unquote normal supply chain conditions, which we're seeing now. And the fruits of our labor back then have really paid off a little over three years later.
Yeah, it's great to see. I wish you all the more success. I can't wait to witness more. But now,
thank you.
You've had all this experience in the entrepreneurial world. What is one major lesson or something you could pay back to our audience, whether it's new entrepreneurs or it's something that you've learned scaling your business? What's a big lesson learned?
So a lesson I learned, I'm going to share two with you. One, and this came from my business partner and mentor, and that is that you have to surround yourself with people that are smarter than yourself and not be intimidated by that. So, you know, as an entrepreneur, you're going to know a lot about a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And I mean to say you're going to know a lot about a lot of different things, not a little about a lot of things. But there are going to be even more things that you don't know anything about. And you have to focus on working with the people that do know something about it. And an example of that for me is social media. I'm 41 years old, almost 42. I did not grow up with a device in my hand. So I am entrusting an organization that knows better than me what to do with that aspect of our business. And as we grow, the same thing is going to be said for search engine optimization and our online presence and creating a larger online presence as well. The second piece of advice I would give is this, you know, get up early. You know, whether you get up early or you stay up late, it doesn't matter what it is. For me, it's get up early. If I can get things done before everyone else, I feel like I'm one step ahead as the day goes forward. I also don't feel like I'm trying to play catch up all of the time. So that hour for me between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. or 5 and 6:30 in the morning is my time. I don't have to share that with another single human being in my house, in my business, nothing. I can get stuff done without any distractions and start the day again one step ahead. And that's a great thing, because what we end up encountering throughout the day, and a lot of it has to do with technology, is we get distracted by everything. Everything and everyone. So being able to focus that time and block that time makes a huge difference.
Very well put. I'm the same way. I'm a morning guy. I do my gym in the morning and I get all of these tasks done with no distractions. That's why in my really before the burnout days of entrepreneurship, right, where Saturdays and Sundays were my best work days because there was no distractions. There was no emails coming in. I have my set structure, my tasks for the day, and I'm going to get them done because there's nothing going to pull me away. Great message there, Steve. And before I let you go, what's one thing we should know about either one of your businesses? Do you have anything going on in either, or where can we find them all at the very least?
Yeah, so Beverage Medical, we are a kind of a boutique organization, and we work with small to medium cap medical device companies. And we're always looking at new technologies in healthcare. You know, healthcare, I talk to my clinicians that I work with all the time, and one of the biggest things about healthcare technology is it's behind the curve, if that probably comes across as a surprise to most people. But consumer technology moves at a lightning fast pace, whereas healthcare technology doesn't, for obvious reasons. But Beverage Medical, you can learn more about that at www.beveragemed.com. And then Heads and Tails, you know, this is just the beginning of that journey. Many, many years ago, the largest name in the business is Fanatics. It started out in a single location in Jacksonville and now is a multi-billion multinational company. I'm not saying that we're looking to do that, but again, that similar boutique niche market spot for us. The biggest thing for us is making sure that we grow in a way that's sustainable, and in a way that doesn't sacrifice our core values as we move forward. And that really is being a customer-centric organization and a customer-centric experiential shopping environment. It's not just about the transaction.
I appreciate sharing all that. Everyone, be sure to go check out all they have to offer, both companies up to big things. And we are at That Entrepreneur Show on all social media. I am at Vincent A. Lancy. Be sure to check us out on YouTube with some That Entrepreneur Show episode clips there to throw a subscribe and stay current. But with that, we're signing off here on another day of the Gasparilla Overload. Steven, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks, Vincent. Appreciate it.